as the Zen Buddhist, it is necessary for us to understand the second Patriarch, Maha Kassapa. So he is famous for his Dagyo in Sanskrit, Devadasa Datsu Unah. And this, we count 12 Zagyo. And this is mostly important ways of organize our life as a person and as a member of Sangha. The first one is to live in calm place like forest or woods, Aranyaka. To enter Aranya or forest means after they finish their household, everyone in India, after finishing their household life, their family life, they would enter, they would join the group of join the religious life with people. So to enter Aranya means to start religious life. Not only priests, but also everyone. That was Indian custom. And here it means to live like religious people do, to live in Aranya. And the second one is to support their life by begging. Yata samstarika. It means that and that and mostly this is about food, and there are two more about food. One is, the other is, when you make baking, you do it, you have to visit houses in order. We should not choose, you know, houses. You should not choose someone you know, or someone who is wealthy. Whether they are poor or wealthy, or you don't know, or you don't know, you should do it in order, in the beginning. You should not change the order. This is next one. And the fourth one is Eika Sanika. Eika Sanika. It means that to make, to eat at certain time, not to eat many times. They do not eat supper. They eat just breakfast and lunch. And when you eat, you should know how much you should eat. Not, you shouldn't eat too much. That is the fifth one. Namatika. This is also important. We should not be greedy. And next one is also about food. We should not eat except we should not eat at another time. You know. We should eat only only meal time. This is the sixth one. We should not eat or drink except meal time. What we are doing, if you know, tea, to have tea is our rule, it may be alright. This is very difficult excuse. Anyway, we should not be greedy, especially when we eat. And the seventh one is about our clothes we wear. We should wear Buddha's robe, which is made of the material people do not use. People throw. I think not only cross, but also Pharisees and everything. When I felt, you know, in America, if you go to second hand store, you can buy quite cheaply something which you want. So I thought there's no need for us to buy grand brand new furniture, paying a lot of money. if you pay $2-3, you will have this is a kind of, I think, attitude we take for our living. And we should wear only three robes when we have ordination ceremony. We receive three robes. Raksu is that kind of raksu. And the other kind is something like this. And we have one more, which is this is made of seven pieces. That is made of five pieces. And the third one has nine pieces. Made of nine pieces. why they made this three kinds there are many reasons, maybe in some scripture it says they were the simplest kind of when it is warm and or hot, and when it is cold, they wear the robe made of nine pieces of cloth material. And spring and fall, they wear five, a robe made of five pieces. Nowadays, we have everyday robes for everyday practice and robes for ceremony. But I think we are even for ceremony we should not use so gorgeous robes as we do now. I'm rather ashamed of it. But when I was young, I never wear such a gorgeous robes. And when I took a funeral service for the first time, for the very rich old person, I just wear black robe with brown, okesa. So they were very angry with me. At that time, they didn't say anything, but later, why didn't you wear more beautiful one you have, your master had? They know, my master wear, but my master wear was, so why didn't you wear that time? But now I think we should not say this, we should not be attached to the material or outlook of the robes. Gorgeous one is all right. Shabby one is all right. That is my attitude, but at that time I was very much concerned about what I wear. Perhaps everyone doesn't like to wear too gorgeous one. Like actor or actress on the stage. Do you know, in Japan, we have ambulatory actors. In the winter, when they have not much to do in their lunch, they would, come out to the city as to entertain people with some gorgeous, in some gorgeous wearing and hitting drums and bells and entertain people with music or play. So I thought we shouldn't be like them. We are not ambulatory actors. But I think this kind of attitude is very important, and we should not forget this point. And those are except the first one, where we should live, is about our food and wearing. And the last three is where we should live. we should live in some place where it is appropriate to practice sadhana. The one is to live in near cemetery. How about it? American cemetery is very beautiful. But Japanese cemetery is not so beautiful. Some monotonous, you know. It's very gloomy, monotonous place, supposed to be. Where there's shrine, or where there's temple, or place where there's temple, or shrine, or cemetery. Supposed to be very lonely, monotonous place. And why they live in cemetery, near cemetery, is because they will feel more deeply about the evanescence of life. Maybe they can illuminate desires. And next one is to live under the tree. Under the big tree. Maybe this is because it is cool, especially in India. But at the same time, we should not be attached to the coolness of the place. So next one is to live in somewhere there is no trees. Where everyone can see you, like common place or square. Where nothing which will protect you. This is pretty strict practice. And the last one is not to sleep in bed. Always sleep in sitting position.
You can do that.
There, and those are Tairup Zagyo. You will feel, you will have, you know, various questions, and at the same time there are many things to think about in this area. If you understand, if you see those rules as a rule, in rigid way, Anitara, it may be, it will not give you right understanding. But if you think the thought if you think about underlying thought, and there are many things to think about. This is, you know, actually how to protect people. How to keep, maintain our order. And how to maintain our system of society. If our human life is supported, this kind of spirit the Nibbana will be a perfect, peaceful world, will be acquired by human being. And rigid and strict it may look, but underlying thought is very warm and full of mercy. Practicing those ways they try to make people happy. So just to live to have a bare simple life. And have enjoyment, have joyous joy in our life. We'll give limitless a source of a spirit for to the people. Only when we practice our way, we live in this way. And maintain our order. And maintain our joy of life, then people may know it is possible to have complete joy, but in various kinds of life. Even in adversity, they may feel it is possible to have complete composure. and they will have strong spirit or strong faith in our human life. And this is at the same time expression of respect you know we say February 25th February 15th is Buddha's Nibbana Day. At the various temples, they hang Buddha lying down on bed, surrounded by many disciples who are very sad. Even various animals and birds. came to see him, how he is, and that he is critically ill. When they saw him critically ill, they are all crying. But we cannot find cat in it. Why? And no one explained why there is no cat. But I thought, where is cat? I found, I asked them, I don't know why there is no cat. Why cat didn't come? And someone, when I was maybe 16 or 17 years old, I found some words or some expression of superficial expression of good manner, good manner. At that time I didn't like monks' way, priests' way. They always do like this. And it seems to me they didn't mean it, They do it just superficially without any feeling. And that kind of, way is called cat-like manner. Cat is very, gentle. Looks like very gentle. And it looks like very lovely. Their manner is very gentle, but not so deep. There's no strong feeling in it. They are just go, if we say go away, they will go away. If they think it is all right, they may easily get approached to you. when we are busy or when we are observed, something else gets me calm. No. There supposed to be very sneaky in some way. That is cat's manner. Someone called it in some literature. Cat's manner. Cat's like manner. So I thought, you know, that is why I cat didn't count Buddha's last time. Why did I start to talk about this? Respect, you know. Respect. To expression of respect is not just to, you know, do like this is not just through expression of respect. To have bare life. And with humbleness. To live in humble life, bare life, simple life, is already expression of respect. You know, it is the best way to express our respect to ourselves and to others. Even though we wear, you know, we lead bare life, we lead, we have bare life. Inside, spiritually, we are rich. That is expression of respect to ourselves. And for others, you know. with the most simplest way, even the most simplest way, we have possibility to give the good feeling for to others. So I do not concerned about beatnik style or hippie-like style. I don't. But only when they can express the respect to others, even in that costume. And there's possibility to express respect to others in the most simple way. Even they wear, you know, like they can express respect for others. But this point is missing in hippie-like living. Of course, I think why they they have that kind of question is to express some resistance to the old cat-like manner. So I can understand their feeling. But instead of, you know, being antagonistic or to feel resistance to the cat-like manner, they should express some respect to the truth or to the real religious life. The essential element of religious life is respect. And respect is, could be expressed various ways. To expose various parts of body, you know, it's maybe the expression of resistance to the cat-like manner. But in that manner, something is missing. Buddhists emphasize to be ashamed of our bare nature, you know, primitive, naive, undefined manner. So to respect Buddha means to be ashamed of something, which we should be when we see Buddha, how perfect he was. And when we see someone who has very respectable character, naturally, we become ashamed of our want of practice, want of attainment or acquisition. So to become ashamed of myself, ourselves, means to respect Buddha. You know. When we have no idea of religion or Buddha or perfect character, we are not ashamed of anything. So we may enter the Buddha hall with dirty sandals. When we know who is Buddha, we cannot do that. We will assume though by our dirty feet. Naturally, when you want to enter a practice hall or a Buddha hall, you will clean up your dress and body. Even that will not be enough, but at least That's my experience. That is, you know, expression of respect. This kind of attitude maintain our order, maintain or support our warm feeling of our sangha and society. Right now, you know, what we have in our culture is cat-like culture and antagonism to the cat. Cats, go away! I don't like you at all. Go away. It is so noisy, you know. Go away. So we have to cover our ears and eyes. That is how I feel, you know, in this kind of society. If you go to San Francisco, young people are, you know, express their antagonism to the cat, you know, they hit the drum and dance and with long hair and go away! Go away, cat! That is a kind of good feeling, you know. If cat is one or two, we will feel sorry for cats. But nowadays there are too many cats. Even though you you use electric, you know, sound, it doesn't go away. they are not strong enough. The sound is not strong enough. But they have to make strongest sound as much as possible. And cry. That I can understand that. But that is too noisy. So there must be some way to maintain our order, to have some warm feeling in our society. And that is, you know, why this kind of practice of 12 Zuda practice could maintain our order. In this way, when we make really this kind of effort, we will have complete freedom in our society. But to this point, we should make our effort. So instead of enslaved by antagonism, we should make our effort in right order, with right spirit. And this kind of spirit should be established in some place like the Sahara. Someone must do that, you know, or else we have no place to live. I think, and this is why we practice Dzogchen. And in explanation of those 12 Zudagyo, Zuda practice, maybe Dutta is Dutta Naha says so. In Japanese, we say Zuda, Dutta, Zuda, maybe. Zuda practice. And there are, you know, how many words of Zazen, Zen, or sitting? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 7, 8 character out of maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of the character is sitting. You may understand how sitting, just to sit, the practice of just to sit is so important. We say Zazen practice, as simple as it is, what it means is very deep, and spirit of Zazen will support, will maintain our order. And Mahakasyapa is famous for his Zudagyo, his kind of type of practice. But he is not famous for his understanding of sunyata or emptiness. Subhuti is the one who is famous for his understanding of emptiness. Or Shariputra is the most famous one. Nevertheless, you know, Mahakasyapa became a successor of Buddha, supposed to be successor of Buddha himself. His practice, he devoted himself to Buddha's practice, not only Zazen practice, but also Zazen practice which include everyday life and spirit of maintaining order of our life as a sangha, as a human being. And he became a successor of Buddha. This point should be remembered, I think. We say Zen and everyday life, but it does not mean to extend Zazen practice to everyday life. but to have deeper, with deep understanding of the teaching, Buddha's spirit, we practice that. That is true way. Actually, there is no Zen or everyday life. Zen or everyday life is the expression of true spirit of that Buddha. True spirit of to help us or to maintain our order or to support this society, human world. I think this is the reason why Mahakashyapa became the successor of Buddha.